The opening prayer for today's Mass asked God for a deeper sense of reverence. Some translations would say a better expression of religion. What is right religion? What does it really mean to be religious? A lot of people think that being religious is living up to the laws and rules and requirements of the church, especially when you don't want to, but doing it anyway. And they're angry, and they're of bad humor, and they're difficult, and they can be judgmental, and they're frustrated, and maybe they're white-knuckling it, but they're doing everything they can to follow the rules. And religion is a way to appease, for them, an angry God, and to try to avoid hell. That is thinking as man does, and not as God, when it comes to authentic religion. That is not religion. Religion, as I said in the beginning of Mass, is first and foremost an act of justice, rendering to God his due, all worship and praise and adoration and obedience. But religion ultimately, at its core, living that out, is about a relationship. It's not about the rules. But when we're in relationship with the Lord, one based on love, the rules come about naturally because we desire to follow them. It conforms with the nature of love. It's not about forcing ourselves, but letting ourselves be caught up by the love of God in such a way that it transforms us. For those who think the way man does, as Jesus said to Peter, condemning him, religion can often be a practice of trying to convince God to make our lives more comfortable. Give me health, give me money, give me a bigger house, a nicer car, great vacation, etc. Now, health and so forth and finances aren't a bad thing to pray for, but religion oftentimes renders itself as a way to somehow convince or manipulate God to make our lives easier. Again, that is not religion. It's about a relationship. And as we know from our own personal relationships with others, when we are in love, there's more sacrifice involved, but we're happier because of it. As you know, I came from a parish a year ago that is relatively well-to-do. Our collections here at Sacred Heart every weekend is around $2,600. Their collection every weekend is $34,000. In addition to that collection, although all pastors make the same money base salary, there was a lot of Christmas gifts and Easter gifts and happy anniversary of ordination gifts and stipends for this and stipends for that and stipends for the other. And I had very little responsibilities at the parish apart from the basic and me trying to find other things to do to serve. It was an easy, comfortable existence with money that came very easily from people that were generous and could give. And then I get assigned to Sacred Heart. And it could not be more different in every way. And in fact, during this week, I learned from the Archbishop in an official letter that I was, after 5 years of being here in the diocese, incardinated, meaning I will now be a permanent priest of the Archdiocese of Denver. I won't be going back to Miami ever again, except a vacation. And with that incardination, as it's called, I was appointed pastor here of Sacred Heart until 2029. So, now, most priests would not ask, which is what I asked for a parish where they can use their Spanish, which typically in this diocese is a poorer parish. And since I've come here, the collection on the weekends is more than 10 times lower. The work that I have to do is 100 times more, because I have no permanent staff or full-time staff. Our resources are very limited, our numbers are far lower, and yet I've never been happier. You seduced me, Lord, a better translation of today's first reading. You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. A better translation is, you seduced me, O Lord, and I let myself be seduced. You were too strong for me. You triumphed over me. The seductive love of God captures us and inspires us to leave behind what is comfortable and easy, to die to ourselves, to find real life and purpose and joy. And that has been my experience here, and my hope that When 6 years are up of serving here starting today, we will be celebrating the 150th anniversary of the founding of the second oldest church in the state of Colorado. I hope that will be a great celebration with our roof finished, our interior ceiling done, the interior church redone, and repainted, and renewed, and refreshed, and our bell tower fixed, and our brick restored, and a fire and smoke alarm system implemented throughout. Many of the things that are on the docket that God has helped provide, which will be coming in the next several months. And with that celebration, the culmination of 6 years of thanking God for hard work and sacrifice that bears great fruit. Jeremiah, when he was called as a prophet, was a tender of sycamore trees. He literally only had to climb up these trees that had fruit that were unedible and slice the skin of them so that as they grew, they could expand and become edible. It required no intellectual capabilities, no ability to read, write, nothing. It was very simple work. And that food was food for the poorest of the poor. That was Jeremiah. And he was really young. And in that state, with that ability and that job, God calls him to be a prophet. And a prophet at a time when the people of God were disobeying him right and left, so that he had to prophesy doom, gloom, condemnation, and repercussions for their sins, which did not make him popular. But that's why he says today, Lord, you seduced me, and I let myself be seduced. Whenever I speak, I have to cry out violence and outrage. That's my message. The word of God has brought me derision and reproach. The people hate me because I am serving you. But I cannot help but do so. He's been caught up by God's love. He left behind an easy, comfortable life, a basic, simplistic job that provided for what he needed. He was young, he could do it, to a life of self-sacrifice and suffering, but it has brought him greater joy and purpose than ever before. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God. Right religion is being caught up by the seductive love that God has for us, and inspired by that, wanting to give back in return. What can I give to the Lord who has done so much for me? I will raise up the cup of salvation and call upon his name. We see how Christ has been crucified for us, and any little sacrifice we do and things we give up for love of him in response to him loving us unconditionally gives us life, and we only thirst all the more. That's why Paul tells us in the second reading today, if we've been caught up in right religion, a relationship of love that transforms us, then we're inspired joyfully to leave sin behind, rather than angrily clinging, white-knuckling it, trying not to do what we really want to do because we know it's wrong. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. Do not conform yourselves to this age, a comfortable life, an easy life, no sacrifice, pleasure, excess. Leave it all behind. If you know how much I love you, pick up your cross and follow me. Look, to want to pray for better health and more money and a comfortable, easy life and an early retirement is natural. There's nothing really wrong with it. But that is not the life Christ chose, and it's not the life he calls us to. And we can't condemn each other for wanting that. Peter did. Peter expected Jesus to become the next King David, to be rich and powerful, to have hundreds of concubines, to have all of his enemies laid to waste, to be in comfort and wealth and luxury, to sit on his throne and be waited on hand and foot. Jesus, you're the new King David. And Peter calls him Satan. You are an obstacle to me. Get behind me, Peter. You are not thinking as God does, but as human beings do. Real power to reign is to serve. Peter didn't understand that. That wasn't their history, but Christ came to teach him something new and to show it by his own example. That's why he tells Peter, if you want to come after me, if you want to follow my reign and power and kingship, then you must deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Don't save your life. Lose it for my sake, and you will gain heaven. Right religion isn't about appeasing an angry God, following rules to avoid hell. It's about a relationship where we're caught up in the love that God has for us. Only when we open our hearts to that and humble ourselves before Him and accept that gift can we understand the joy and freedom that comes from harder work, more sacrifice, more self-denial, the joy that comes from no longer desiring to sin and learning that the teachings of the church and all its rules and requirements are the pathway to freedom. Freedom from our vices, freedom from our selfish passions and desires, freedom for love, to be loved and to love authentically, not in a self-serving way. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? Jesus today invites us to enter into a right religion, to live in true, authentic reverence, by accepting the love he has for us unconditionally and welcoming his will into our lives and joyfully responding in kind. Because if we're truly religious, if we're truly reverent, then we're going to be caught up in a relationship of love that makes no sense to the world and finds more fulfillment in giving than receiving, and a greater joy in being a servant than to be served.